last time we were together, we were talking about Hanukkah. So it's been a few weeks since we were talking about, since we're living inside this peace, Das Atzmein, knowing ourselves, Ni'alei Shur. We're talking about the Kech HaMadam, Kech HaDimyum, the power of imagination, and the effect that it has on us. So we probably should review for 5 minutes and then finish the page where it says Perek Chamishi, page Kufman Aleph, if you have the Sefer. Perek Chamishi, we'll just review again, even though we did it, some people weren't here, it's been a few weeks, and then we're going to begin to talk tonight a little bit more in Pnimius what the Inyan Perek HaMadam is, Kach HaDimyon, imagination, how the Torah understands that, a little bit more in Chassidus, a little Chabad, a little breastless, to understand the Pnimius of the Madama. And then we're going to, before we move on to the next page, we're going to learn a Maimer from Reb Yeruchim. Because it's really impossible to move forward in this Maimer without spending a little bit more time in the world of the Kach HaMadam, to understand what it is, Dinyan, imagination, to understand it in Pnimius. This is all because of the amazing opening sentence of Rabbi Sol Salanter's famous Igeres HaMusar, which we learned inside, which is going to go very quickly to review it. So look inside on page Kufnun Aleph, where it says Perek Hamishi, the second page, the second side of that page, which says Perek Hamishi. So I don't know, that's the first page of the ones that you have. Do you have it? Is it there? It says Perek Hamishi? Yeah? Second? Fine. So Rabbeinu Hagaon, Rabbi Sol Salanter, we did this already, going fast. Rabbeinu Hagaon, Rabbi Sol Salanter, Schus Yigalenu, Kaisa Bigas HaMusar. Rabbi Sol writes in Bigas HaMusar, Odom also Rumuskola V'chav Shubi Demiayna. He spent a lot of time in this already. Ha'odam also b'miskala. A person is imprisoned. A person is imprisoned and held back. Also, b'miskala by the intellect, by the mind, by the intellect. B'chavshi b'demyayna. And he becomes free through his imagination. So if a person has a choice to be a prisoner or to be free, any reasonable person would rather be free. So the seichel imprisons, and the dimyon, the seichel imprisons, and the imagination frees, it liberates. So far, dimyon will get more votes than seichel. Dimyon. Dimyon malichay shayver b'derech leiv. The dimyon leads a person wildly in the path of his heart's desires. The seichel imprisons a person in the world of what's right. What does God want? What do my parents want? What does my wife want? My husband want? What's the right thing to do? That's the seichel. But the dimyon, Rabbi Sol says, the dimyon takes a person and leads him wildly in the path of his heart's desires. Not to be afraid. Even though a person knows that he's going to have to face the consequences. He's going to have to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the consequences for everything that we do. Yet the imagination is so strong that it takes away from him that fear. It takes away from him that fear. So B'Shas Maisi, he'll go ahead and he'll do something, he'll act based upon what his imagination tells him, and he's not afraid. Ubishvatim kashim yivaser, even though Yusar, even though the truth is that he's going to be punished. It's going to be bad. By Yalakeid Zar Biglolai. Nobody else is going to go instead of him. There's not going to be, he can't send in somebody in his place, even if he's a rich guy. Rich people like to pay other, for other people to do things for them. But when it comes to, when it comes to the din in Shemayim, you can't, even if you were the richest person in the world, when it comes to the din in Shemayim, you can't hire somebody to take the patch for you. You have to take it yourself. Hulavadai, Yisa Prichatoi. The person himself will have to bear the consequences of his sins. Echad hu. It's one person, it's the same person. Oisa haveir v'hanenesh. The one who did the aveir, the one who did the, who committed the sin, and the one who's punished this. Can't arrange for some other other person to be in place of you. Morahi. Rabbi Sol says this is the bitter truth. This is the bitter truth. Bal ye'omer ha'odam zecholi ve'esa'anu. This is the bitter truth, but the Kach HaDimyon, the imagination of a person, is able to hide from him, to cause him to forget. Ad kedei kach, that he's not afraid of the inescapable future, and that he's going to have to bear the consequences of his avodas. Again, we learned this, we're just reviewing a little bit. Rabbi Sol Salanter is describing here all of the excuses, all of the ways that we rationalize that come to us from the Dimyon. Shekilo ein mishpat. It's as if there is no judgment. Vim yeish mishpat, ein ha ein shem chamurim kol kach. And even if I admit and acknowledge that there is judgment, but the oinshim, the punishments are not so terrible. Even if it is bad, even if the punishments are bad, that doesn't mean that I'm going to get punished necessarily. It's as if somebody else is going to get punished, not me. And even if you admit that you're guilty and you're going to have to deal with the punishments. He calms himself down that he'll be able to handle it. It's okay. He's been through difficult times and he'll get through that also. There's this need for Yiras Chayt that each and every one of us should be afraid to do something that's against Hashem's Baruch's will. We should be afraid. And it's a natural thing for a person to be afraid of something that could be bad from that, something that's dangerous. But the Koyach HaDimyon is so strong that it's Ma'akim. It makes crooked. That normal, healthy, expected thought is made crooked. And the Koyach HaDimyon leads the person wildly on the path of his heart's desires. Oyla Dimyon Oyver Rahal Azeh Yedeinuhu V'Kechein L'Harchika. Rabbi Sol continues and says that this Dimyon, it's so dangerous, it's our enemy, the Koyach HaDimyon. And Yedeinuhu V'Kechein L'Harchika. It's our own creation, and we have the ability to control it. We have the ability to distance ourselves from it. There's only one Eitzah. There's only one way to deal with the Koyach HaDimyon, to overcome the Koyach HaDimyon. And that's with Seichel. That's with the mind, that's with the intellect. And it doesn't depend upon how smart you are, your grades. Koyach HaSichel. Lahaskil al dvar emes, to think deeply, what's the truth? Uma nase, but what should we do? Hadimyon nachal shoytev. The dimyon, the imagination is a nachal, it's a powerful river. It's a powerful river. Nachal shoytev, the koyach hadimyon. And it's so powerful that it could drown the mind, it could drown the intellect. The imagination, fantasy imagination, so strong it could drown the intellect. Mulvad Masha Kol Yochid, this is where I think we're up to. Mulvad Masha Kol Yochid Margus, let's just finish the page and we'll talk more about this. Mulvad Masha Kol Yochid Margus Bekirba Amitas Atir Hazeh. Besides that each and every one of us feels inside of ourselves the truth of the above description of Rabbi Sol Salanta. Hifli Rabbi Sol Salanta Lahagde Beze Ezruach Tkuf Haseinu B'miucha. Rabbi Sol has described in the most amazing way, the most accurate way, our Tkufa, our period, the time that we're living in. It kufais kedumais, ayd hikira ha'anayshus bi'ideal shel his alus ruchanis, ubetanug shel avayda ruchanis. In earlier times, there was a general recognition on the part of mankind. People in general understood and felt that giving in to coarse desires is something which is not admirable. It's enjoyable, but it's not admirable. It's not a way of life. It's a perversion of life. And therefore there was shame, there was embarrassment as far as perversions were concerned. And indulging in certain pleasures, there was some sense of shame and embarrassment. And there was still a general feeling that the ideal of mankind, the greatest leaders of mankind, are the teachers, the philosophers, the doctors, the professors, the intellectuals. The priests, religious leaders, these were the ones who were most respected and most admired. And therefore there was, in those days, there was an appreciation for spiritual pleasure. There was an appreciation for spiritual pleasure. And people wanted that, and people sought that. Kahayoyim, nowadays, Tanugim Sharayiv Ben Yodom, Hubiduzol. This is already itself over 30 years old, you understand, since the Mashgiach wrote this. Nowadays, most people enjoy themselves with cheap entertainment. Cheap doesn't mean it's inexpensive. Doesn't mean it's inexpensive. Someone told me recently that they pay to go to a Broadway show. I thought you could already buy half the theater with that money. Just to go to a Broadway show. If someone wants to go to a baseball game, you know, we used to take the bicycles over and we used to pay $1.50. There was even, sometimes you get for 75 cents. People now, the Mashgiach says, they see pleasure, they're seeking pleasures, all kinds of thrills, a very cheap type of entertainment, a lower form of entertainment. Kriyas Dvarim, Viriyas Machazois Chasrei Toichen Ruchani, going to watch things and read things that lack in any spiritual content or value, any true value. Hamalhivim Umazbiim Ach Virak Esadimim. People now are looking for those things that excite and satisfy only the imagination. That excite and satisfy only the imagination. Someone was just telling me that even the commercials, everything, the way that the graphics are being used and the way that the cameras are being used, it's bechlal, not even, there's nothing that's emes anymore. It's all dimyanus, how fast things are going and popping on the screen and popping off the screen and different things that are happening in front of people's eyes. But the kids are growing up with these siyurim in front of their eyes that are not part of the mitzvahs. I'm not talking about watching some science fiction. We also saw science fiction. And when you wanted to watch something from science fiction, you knew that this was not true. This was fantasy. And you're turning on and you're watching something that's fantasy. and you're going for an hour or whatever it is. It was 2 hours, but you're going on some journey out into outer space. And when we were kids, there was Lost in Space, and then it got fancy at the Star Trek, right? But you knew, Chacha, that this was not something. In real life, people don't beam up and beam down like that. You have to go on the F train in real life. And people understood that this is not how people don't manage to live this way and so on. And we understood the distinction between reality and fantasy. There was still a distinction between reality and fantasy. Because Hollywood took upon itself to recreate a world and to make it look as authentic as possible, a world that's not real. A world whose existence is only in the place of imagination. They have been so successful that every single one of us here is mamish a victim of it. Every single one of us, unless there's somebody who had the privilege of growing up totally without that. But anybody here who grew up in the world of television, movies and so on, all of that, our whole way of looking at the world and our way of thinking is perverse and has been sickened and distorted as a result of what we've seen. Even though we're convinced that we're fine and that we're normal, we're absolutely not. And it's going to take our entire life to try to get a little bit, well, hopefully a little bit cured of that machla that has taken over our way of thinking. The way that there are bochum here that are not married, the way of bochum, and there are some young ladies, but more the bochum, the young ladies too, the dimion of what they think marriage is, or what they think a girl is, and what they think life is, and so on, it's so far from the mitzvahs, it's far, far from the mitzvahs. And even if you put on a big black yarmulke and you like to pay as grow a little bit, you're still mixed up. You're still mixed up. Dimyonis of Koyach HaDimyon, that we were raised on the Koyach HaDimyon. We're raised on the Koyach HaDimyon. Kriyas Dvarim Riyas Machayzois Machazois Chasrei Koyach Ruchonim Alhiv Mazvim Ach Rakas HaDimyon. There's a whole industry, there's a whole world that has one purpose, which is to excite the imagination. To excite the imagination. To satisfy the imagination. And that's why life has become so unbearable for people. Because the reality of their lives never, ever, ever resembles what they imagined it to be. It never resembles that. Because that's just not how it was on the show. That's not how it was. That's not what I imagined it to be. People even say that. I didn't imagine it to be that way. So where I was in the past, from the earliest age, children were raised in reality. They didn't slip off into some dark, mysterious room with things flashing in front of their eyes that was creating a different world, a fantasy world. They lived in the usual difficult and bitter reality of a hard life and working and making a living and being in this world. Being in this world. But that's finished. Unless a person is raised totally clean of that, it's finished. Each and every one of us, how we walk and how we talk, if we would be filmed, if we'd be filmed for 24 hours and to compare it and to watch it, even years after you ever saw any shows, it has to do with things that we've seen and things that are out there and that affect us. And if it's not a cliche, it affects with a cliche. And if a person says it doesn't affect me, then you're the biggest baldimian of all. Then it's the biggest rahmanis. The biggest rahmanis. Every single one of us. Just catch yourself with certain things that you say. And certain things that we do and how we walk and how we act. This is the mitzvahs that we're in. Yad ha-tamula ha-zulas ha-zoyla v'yoyse be'emtza ha-achroz ha-medinius ha-chashuvus v'yoyse be'emkoyim ha-shechnu ha-sechli bo ha-pniye el dimyon ha-hamayim. It says that all important earth-shattering decisions that are being made, great political decisions that are being made, in the midst of all of that, instead of people being convinced by the Kayach HaSeichel, instead what's being appealed to is the Kayach HaDimyon, the imagination. Look who's running from New York State for president. I'm asking, if you think about it, and I don't care about politics. Look at the koyach of the media, of television. Look in the, and read studies when they ask people who you're voting for, they see who they're voting for, you ask them why, and what their answer is. What their answer is. And when they have somebody, when there's a politician that's running, and the ladies consider him to be a good-looking fellow, and they ask him, why are you voting for him? He's cute. It's an interesting criteria to be the president of the most powerful country on earth. He's cute. It's demyonis. It's very scary. It's demyonis. That nobody 20, 30, 40 years ago any person would have been embarrassed to say that. Even if they thought it, they would have been embarrassed to Boucher to say such a thing. What are you, a total moron? That's how you vote for a president of the United States? When they ask, they don't even know. Why are you voting? I like her. I'm not talking about you asking somebody after the prom. You like her? What do you mean you like her? Why do you like her? What is she talking about? Ask her, what's her agenda? What are you voting for? What? It's demyonis. We'll talk in a few minutes about what demyon is on a deeper level, and you'll see what this means. And how our generation is, this time that we're living in, is unique. In that respect, it's unique. And it's also a sign that we're getting closer to the Mashiach. We'll talk about that as well. Instead of appealing to people's intellects and their intelligence, we just have to try to get their imagination going. We try to work on the Koyach HaDimyon. And you can pull them in with the Koyach HaDimyon. You don't have to explain anything. You don't have to reason with people. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be safe. If it's interesting, exciting, if it's entertaining. Baal Kol Eila. Man the Ryan Divya Achavis Lavovis. Shadimyan Yocha Lahavi bin Yodam Ladekah. The famous sentence of the Chavis Lavovis, where the Chavis Lavovis writes that imagination is so powerful, Shadim Yocha Lahavi bin Yodam Ladekah, Shiya Bitnam Elohim. Imagination is so powerful that it has the ability to take a person's stomach and make it into a god. You can make your stomach into a god. To make one's stomach into a god. People worship false gods. People worship all kinds of things. But the form of worship was connected with some idealism of a higher power, of some divine power. But the Chavis Lavovis says that the Koyach HaDimyon is so strong, sheyibitnam Eloheihem, that your stomach runs your whole life. Your stomach tells you what to do. Your stomach runs your whole life. Haven't you ever met a person who's, God forbid, terribly, terribly depressed, who's terribly depressed? Again, this is more often with women than with men. And the women will forgive me because they know that 90% of the time I'm beating up on the guys, not the girls. But this is more from the women, that when it comes to their diets, to their eating, what they're thinking about, it's unbelievable. It's a machla that you could find a person who has everything to live for, and she doesn't want to live because of food. Something with food. Too little, too much. She can't eat this, she has to eat that, whatever it might be, but it's negayah to her body image and to eating. That the beten, the stomach has become a person's god, and tells a person to be happy or to be sad. That your stomach tells you to be happy or to be sad. Not that the stomach is something that needs to be taken care of in order that we should live, but that the stomach itself becomes a tachlis of a person's life, and his moods and his happiness or her sadness is somehow related to the stomach and to the figure and to what I put into my stomach and so on. And look how advertising and the media, when it comes to eating and food, when it comes to everything, even the package, how they package things nowadays. You know, I grew up like everybody here. I'm sure we had Heinz ketchup. That's part of, you know, being here in America is Heinz ketchup. I just happened to look at the label recently. They had like different slogans on the label. So I was just looking at I don't know why. I was just sitting there, standing in front of me, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, what happened with just Heinz? Established 1872 or something, whatever it was. Whatever happened to that? And all of the advertising on packages and everything that, the way that things are being packaged and the way that things are being presented. It's all the kahadinyan. It's all the dinyanis. The objective of those companies, and they're very smart people, very, very smart people, the objective of those companies is to give you a feeling that only if you have this product, that it's going to have a certain effect upon you, which is not related at all to the reality of what that effect is supposed to be. So, of course, ketchup is to make something taste a little better. But you look at the advertisements for foods, or for cereals, like even when we were kids, they had Wheaties, the breakfast of champions. Remember? So the impression that you got, every kid got that. Like when we were watching the commercial, the Wheaties commercial, so the impression that you got it is if you can convince your parents to buy the cereal, Wheaties, that you're gonna win. You're gonna win, you're gonna be matzliach. And there's nothing that's more important for a kid growing up to win. Whatever it is, whatever your sport is, you know, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, football. And there was a seasonal thing, because the Wheaties boxes had football guys during the winter, and they had baseball guys during the summer. But the Tamsis Adav is that somehow if I eat this cereal, I'm going to be a better athlete. The same way that they would advertise on television, I mentioned this a few months ago, that they advertise on television, a car, and the guy that drives this car always happens to like pick up the prettiest girl in the whole world. Like the most beautiful girl in the world, he happens to pick up, even though he himself doesn't look like he's much of a knacker, but if he's driving this car, and not only that, the way that the women were portrayed, like there's some woman that's sitting in another car, so Achman is like a Chevy or something, right? She has a boyfriend, and she's sitting in that car, in the Chevy, and this guy pulls up, this guy is nobody, pulls up in the car at the light, next to the, but this guy is driving whatever it is. In those days, you know, we had different, let's say a Mercedes, a Chrys. He's driving some kind of fancy car. And then the girl, that could be that this girl's with his boyfriend, could be for many years. It means they have a deepest kashrus. They write poems, they write letters, they mamash have his kashrus pnimi. And the guy's sitting at the light, and she looks at him, and she doesn't know him at all, just sees that car. She gets out of the car, remember this, she gets out of the car, and goes in at the light, sits with this guy in the car. The guy could be a serial murderer. I don't mean the serial like I was talking about. I was a serial murderer. And she gets in the car, and they drive off. And every single 18-year-old is thinking, I got to get that car. Where do you get that car? If I can't buy it, I'll steal it. Because I never saw a girl like that in shul. But if I drive that car, I could stop by a light and I could actually force somebody who has a hiskashus, a big hiskashus, with somebody else to leave her boyfriend, maybe even her husband. Maybe she's married. But she'll take a get to be able to go to the nicer car. Dinyanis. As if a person's car has something to do with anything other than like a piece of metal that moves. But no, it's more than that. And this is a billion, billion, billion dollar business. And people are otherwise balei seichel. It's verkauft. Alles verkauft. Verkauft. They're bought by it. And in a million ways. Verkauft. I was in the I was in the swarm, a place, a store, a Judaica store, to get something that I needed, some wicks, you know, and before Hanukkah. And the very nice lady there, she came over and she said, Rabbi Weinberger, we have a new thing that just came in. I says, what just came in? For maybe a new safe or something? She says, no. She shows me there's a little kit. There's some very sweet Jews, they made this little kit. It's a special little kit for like $5 that if you have this kit, then you'll be able to take your old wicks out successfully. It comes with a tweezer and a little box that says on it, Shemin or something, a little metal box, looks like a tiny little pushkin with a tweezer. And I was standing with my wife, and she said, isn't this wonderful? You could probably use this. So I'm looking at this, and I said, you know, I'm taking out my wicks my whole life. I just put my finger into the thing, take out the wicks. I didn't do it with a tweezer, and I don't have a, I use a little plastic bag, and I put it into a baggie, and I've been pretty happy until now. But then, you know, it's not, and I made a joke. I said, you know, shkayach. And my wife said something that's ridiculous, what's going on. And then, you know, it's like, but as I'm falling asleep at night, I'm thinking, it was a pretty neat thing. And I was thinking, like, it's a pretty neat thing. You know, I have to get my hands dirty. And then you get the black inside your nails. It's not bad. I didn't buy it. But I remember thinking, it's a kayach adimian, unbelievable. So you start to think that, what am I, a shlub? I have to take it out with my hands? Look, what there are people that are able to go with a tweezer. So I did ask my wife the next day, you have a tweezer? So I said, I'm just joking. I asked her, I said, she says, why, because of that? I said, no, I'm just joking, And I just put my finger in the old-fashioned way. But akadekach, it's a kleinekite, I'm giving just an example, narishkeit, it's halalalon. But the person, the dinyan, and they make it in the package, it's a silly little metal box with a tweezer. Again, I don't mean anything against the zidin that they're just trying to make a punis, I don't mean chas v'shalom. But it's just, it's nothing. It's nothing. And the kleinekite dinyan, so they have, then we get to big things like the lottery. So the kayach adimyon that if you win the lottery, then you're going to be, first of all, if you buy it, you're going to win. You could win. And if you win, then you're going to be a big oisher and you're going to be happy. When all of the studies that have been made show that even the people that have won, ruba de ruba, misery, divorce, and suicide. I read a whole study about this already a while ago, 10 years ago. Since then, it hasn't gotten better. Because then a person can say, oh, those are the, because that guy only made $80 million. But if you make $100 million, then you don't commit suicide. No, then you commit much faster. Because it seems to be going in that order. But the demyainis that a person thinks they're going to buy this ticket, and demyainis, so what's going to be? But that's what the Chavis Lavavis says. Bitnam Elohim, or the stomach of a person, in other words, one's pleasures become one's God. Becomes your God. Tairasam Malbushehem. What's that person's Taira? His clothing. What he wears, that's his Taira. That's what the Chavis Lavavis says. Tairasam Malbushehem. Clothing. Clothing, which you understand a person has to dress respectfully and nicely, and even fashionably, but that clothing becomes a person's title, purpose in life. It's clothing. Umusaram chizuk mishkenayim. Chavis Lavavis says, and the musar is chizuk mishkenayim means also has to do with making money. The whole musar of a person's whole life is just the strength in his kaychus when it comes to be able to make money. Hadimya nachal shaitev vaseichel yidba imlena the chayiv ba'aniya. The dimyan is a powerful, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter goes back to the cell, the dimyan is a powerful, powerful river, and the seichel can drown. If we don't put our seichel in a boat, we'll talk more about this, what this boat is. We have to rescue the seichel from the powerful waters of the dimyan, of imagination, and we have to provide the seichel with a boat, a ship. He rikshas anefesh v'sa'aras haruach. That's from Rabbi Saul's, he hears almost, rikshas haruach means It's a very deep. Those last couple of words are very, very deep. We're not going to go into it right now. We'll talk more about it. We've spoken a lot about that in the writings of the Piasetzna, because the Rebbe wrote a lot about this inyan. The seichel has to be rescued in the boat of what? Rigshoyz hanefesh, powerful emotions of the soul. Usa'oras haruach, and a stormy spirit. It was the way to rescue the seichel, is we have to fight dimyon. We have to fight the dimyon. You can't ignore the dimyonis. The seichel's being swept away. The dimyonis are too powerful. So what is the ship that rescues the seichel from the dimyon? The ship is what? Rigshos hanefesh, strong emotions in Yiddishkeit. We use emotion and imagination and feelings in our Avodas Hashem. Sa'aras haruach, of course, if you saw it, and he went on to write, Musa, learning Musa, but Musa with his rachshus, with emotion, out loud, screaming, yelling, going back and forth from the Beis Medrash, Musa. You can't just read it, you can't just take it as a subject, it's gotta be rigshos hanefesh and sa'aras haruach. In other words, we have to fight dimyonis on their terms. Dimyonis, fantasy, imagination, uses the storminess of the soul. Imagination is powerful, it's passionate, it's stormy. If your Torah learning, like the Piasetzna says, we learned it many times, if your Torah learning is without emotion, if your davening is dry, if your home, if the Yiddishkeit in your home is lifeless and cold, there's no way that they can compete with the dimyonis. You can't compete with the dimyonis. If the Yiddishkeit is empty, like the Rebbe the Piasetzna writes, that the soul of a person relishes sensation. It's in Tzav and Zeus. The soul of a person relishes excitement. The Rebbe writes over there, and we spoke about this many times, the Rebbe writes, a person enjoys, in a very strange way, he enjoys to see some horrible accident. You can have traffic that's backed up for miles with people, and not where the accident was, on the other side of the highway, because everybody's stopping to look and to see, and what is it? Or if there's anything, any strange, heart-rending event. Look at people to go to horror movies, to go for all kinds of excitement, or amusement parks, and thrills. People are meshuggah to get excited. Everybody wants excitement. So the Piasetzna writes that the soul needs a certain quota of excitement. And he says the one who is wise will seek that excitement in powerful Torah learning and deep emotional davening. Deep emotional davening. And if you don't, so the Piasetzna says, if you don't, then you will either become sick, he says, you'll become sick, or you'll be driven to seek cheap and disgusting alternatives to Yiddishkeit. Cheap and disgusting alternatives to Yiddishkeit. Because you must have excitement and pleasure. A person who's healthy, who's well, wants excitement, wants changes, wants things. And the Rebbe says that the Rebbe Shalom is teaching us, and this is the Ikke Chiddush of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, is how to be able to find deep, deep excitement and pleasure in one's Avodas Hashem. But if a person's Avodas Hashem is without emotion, and if the learning is very, very, if the person feels that the learning is irrelevant, it has nothing to do with my life, and it's not interesting or it's not exciting, So then the same person watches television or goes to some school and is taking fantastic classes with interesting people in the class, and it's leibedik and so on. So it's not a question of what's going to happen to that person. It's just a question of when it's going to happen. It could be, you know, by many people it's already happened. They go through the motions of being religious Jews, but for their excitement. They're not looking for excitement in a good, you know, in a good nishmas kolcha. They're not looking for a thrill in a beautiful rendition of Yom Kippurka, right? There's something else. So you see, nowadays, Even people who are from, I'm not talking about people who are badness, are careful with mitzvahs and so on. They're looking all the time for all kinds of entertainment. For all kinds of entertainment. For vacations and for trips, not just to relax, but to see things, to go places and to do things, to go out. We could be the only people in the whole world that are not going somewhere tonight. And we have a concert afterwards, that's, we have to try to keep us in line, right? So we have Baruch Hashem. But to do something, to go somewhere, to see something, to epic something. The music that's coming out is the vast majority of the Jewish music that's coming out is just for the demyonis, to appeal to the cheap demyonis, not for dveikas, not for any ruchnis, not to make a person closer to Hashem as well. Just to give some kind of excitement, a thrill, and to relieve you of any guilt that you might have that I'm listening to Goyish music. So they have everything that's totally Goyish. Many of these people don't have a Shemitz or Yerushalayim either. But they call the album Tov L'Hoydos. Tov L'Hoydos. And they use that accent to Tov L'Hoydos. And Tov L'Hoydos, and everybody goes and buys it. And then the Jewish kids are listening to this, and they're moving and going with this music. It has nothing to do with the Rebbeinu, nothing to do with the Dveikus B'Hashem. It's all Demyonis. It's all Demyonis. To excite, to relieve them of the boredom of their lives. And this music has nothing to do with the Rebbeinu, it's nothing to do with getting closer to Hashem as well. Just the opposite. So Demyonis is taking the person further and further and further away from Kedusha. And anybody, if you talk Seichel, you try to explain Api Seichel. If you try to explain Api Seichel, is this the right thing to do? What are you doing? Is this the Rotzon Hashem? Come on, what is it? At least we're doing this. It could be worse. You know, these kind of things that you can't argue with people. You can't say anything up your seichel. You try to talk seichel with people, but you're talking to somebody. If you're talking to somebody who has made his stomach into his God and made his clothing into his Torah, it's very hard because it's like a religion. So this whole thing about the Jewish music, you know, I say it all the time, and I know that I'm always preaching to the converted. Because we're talking here about big Elohim and all of you, and you're coming to learn Torah and it's a Shabbos, so you don't have a shaykhis to this kind of music. But you know that it's what's going on outside, and you hear what's going on. And you try to talk seichel, and then they look at you like you're not the Semit. You don't want the kids to have some fun. You don't want to be, they don't enjoy it. They have such a hard time in yeshiva. You don't want them to enjoy themselves a little bit. So what do you want? They should go listen to Goyish music. All of these things. Well, let's begin to get to the pnimius of what Dimyon is. And we'll come back home, I mean, we'll come back to the pages in a few weeks. To get to the pnimius of what Dimyon is, we'll just be able to start now. It's a very, very, very big Indian. Anybody who's ever learned the Kutum Aran knows that the Rebbeinu the Koyach Madama is another word for the Yetzirah. How could they come? The Koyach Madama, imagination, Rabbi Nachman, we use the words Koyach Madama for the Yetzer Hara. In Chabad and in Breslov and all of the Sfarim, we're told the following. We're just going to begin now. The Chabad Sfarim tell us that there are two levels of Bina. Bina, as you know, means understanding. There are two levels of Bina. There's Pnimius HaBina and Chitzonius HaBina. There's inner understanding, there's deeper understanding, and there's external or shallow understanding. When a person thinks deeply, and he tries to understand, davar mitoch davar, deeper and deeper from one level to another level, to try to get to the bottom of what something really is. What is this thing? Whatever this thing is. What is Be'emus? What is this thing? That is called Pnimius Habina. When a person wants to understand how is this built? The word Bina comes from the word Binyan, also. How is this built? What is this? And in order to understand that, he has to be Meivin Davar Mitarch Davar. He has to try to go deeper and deeper from one level into another level to understand. To try to get to the Pnimius of what is this thing? That's called Pnimius Abina. The Koyach HaMedama, listen carefully, imagination begins, according to Chassidus and Kabbalah, imagination begins in that part of the consciousness of a person that's called Chitzonius HaBina, external intelligence, external understanding, Chitzonius HaBina. What does that mean? That means when a person looks at the world, could be a very intelligent person, there's nothing to do with how smart you are. But the person looks at the world, and he looks at life, not for the purpose of truly understanding it. Not for the purpose of truly penetrating to the depths and getting to the bottom of what this is. When a person looks at life and looks at the world, on the surface, what he'll always end up doing is using Bina, listen carefully, because Bina means to be Meivin Davar Mitarch Davar. Meivin Davar Mitarch Davar, right? To understand one thing within another thing. From one thing to get to the next level. And we're dealing with a very smart person. So what's Chitzonius HaBina? What does it mean, external Bina? We're talking about Stam, a shallow person, a silly person? No. Not talking about a silly person. This person could have 10 PhDs. He could be a very smart person, be a brilliant person. What's Chitzonius HaBina? Chitzonius HaBina means that there are certain ideas or things in life that I'm familiar with, that I know. Then I meet up in life, as we all do every day, with new concepts, new things, new people. The person who lives with Chitzonius HaBina studies, examines each event in life and each person and thing in life based upon that particular moment, that person, that thing, to try to understand what is this? Who is this? What can I learn from this? The Chitzonius HaBina does not do that. The Chitzonius HaBina does the following. The Chitzonius HaBina is also Meivin Davar Mitarch Davar. Meivin Davar Mitarch Davar also builds, because Bina always means a binyan. So the one who lives in Chitzonius HaBina is also building one thing from within another thing, but what he'll do is he'll take something that he's familiar with, that he already knows, and he's going to then take the new thing that he meets up with, and he'll borrow and he'll use from the old concept that he's familiar with and he feels that he knows well, and instead of truly examining the new phenomenon in his life, he'll borrow from the old and he'll build a binyan that is a mixture of old and new that oftentimes is a total mistake. As we're walking out from here in 3 minutes, I could put my arm around one of the fellas and say, also, so what do you think about the Republican contenders in this election? You know, everybody wants to make like, because Yidden is supposed to be machas, right? So everybody's going to say, well, you know, there's certain milas to Giuliani. So, yes, I also like Giuliani. What do you think of Giuliani's milas? Now, what you're going to say, and you're going to feel very sincere about it, because it's not everybody's going to vote for Giuliani over here. So what are you going to say? So you're going to say something like you remember, like you'll say like, yeah, you know, with 9/11, he really took care of things. Well, Rudy was great. Rudy was great. So 9/11, you liked the way that he handled 9/11. What did you like about how he handled 9/11? You know, he was, you put on the cap, you know. He wore a cap that said fire department. And he went out there and, you know, made sure everything got done. You got it. Everything got done. And how do you think that, do you think that cap qualified him to be the president of the United States, that he did that? That he got, you know, he was, he calmed down New York City? Does that qualify him? In what way? And the person, if he read a little bit of newspaper article, if he saw a little bit of a show, and maybe he even read something last week that Giuliani said someplace in Iowa, here, with the Absafart, before you know it, this person has put together a package. And not only is he familiar with Giuliani, he feels that he could write his speeches. He could be Giuliani's speechwriter. Garnish mit garnish. Made a whole binion there. Who's the person? What's the person? Then maybe he knows, oh, but he was married a few times and he had, in life, he had some things, personal zach, and the word so kosher that he had. So then depending, if you like him, then you'll find all kinds of ways to cover that. If you don't like him, then you'll say it's a pagamina person. He's married three times. How could he be president? He was married three times. All dinyanis. All binyanim of a person who's maven davar mitarech davar. What does it mean to be maven davar mitarech davar? It means there are a couple of little things that you picked up along the way that you know. You happen to pick them up. A little bit about Giuliani, a little bit about this one. I'm using it as an example because it's so havol, but it's an example of how people talk and garnish. And you picked up a little bit of information like this, you picked up a little bit of information like that, and you throw in a little bit of this, and you throw in a little bit of that, and you put it into the crackpot, and you have a political stance, and you talk about it like you have some sort of an opinion about who should be the president of the United States. It was all dinyanis. You never tried to understand his thoughts or his policies. You never read in any depth or anything. You never looked into it at all. Think about the arguments that you get in with people. What was the last time you were ever an expert in anything? Unless maybe there was something about, you know, old Bugs Bunny, you know, and you saw all the Bugs Bunnies, and you're able to say, you know, I know for sure there was never such a Bugs Bunny. But other than that, but think of how you talk in your conversations and your arguments. Oh, 100%. You'll have people that say, let's talk about something in Yiddishkeit, Lahavdil, that's always been a hot topic, the pro-state of Israel and the anti-state of Israel. And you could talk like you're the biggest maven, either in the pro or the against. What, you read Vayol Moshe from the Sotnov? It's a hard safe. It's 340 pages. You read it? Vayol who? Vayol Moshe. He was a very famous rabbi. He was the one that was most well known for his strong anti-Zionist opinions, right? Did you read the material that you came to the conclusion that you did? That even though he's a great tzaddik, of course, but he was totally, totally off, totally off. How do you know that? And if you ask the same thing from some Sama guy, some sweet Sama fellow, you stop on the avenue, you say, you hit my tire, my breather, tell me something. Maybe Rav Kook was right. Rav Kook! Maybe it was wrong. How, Rav Kook? What are you talking about? What was the last thing that you read from Rav Kook? You read something from Rav Kook? Nobody knows anything except for Rav Kook and the Satmarov. Right? And they're fine. We have no ties against either of them. In Shemayim, they're best friends. There's no suffering. But you could talk like and argue about how this one's crazy and that one's crazy and this and that. From where? Because you were in some yeshiva in sixth grade and their teacher said something and they this and then you heard that over the years and another rabbi speech because you happened to go your whole life to these kind of shuls and you heard this speech and you heard that speech and now all together you have this package that's what? The Satmarov didn't know what he was talking about. Azuri. You know, that was a man that was very learned. It's something that's worth being nervous about. Just like the other side, they say the same thing. Rav Kook was a very learned person. Very, very learned person. You can't just dip. It's not so poshut. And the Satmarov didn't look at it like something that's poshut. He didn't look at it like something that's poshut. It was something which was very deep, it was earth-shattering, and it was earth-shattering importance for those two tzaddikim to be mavarer than the kud of Knesset Yisrael before Mashiach comes. They were great and holy people. with tremendous depth, who learned the sugyas and the gemaras and the rambams and all the kabbalahs for him. They didn't pick up some opinion because they were reading the Jewish press for the last 25 years. You understand? That's not how they formed their opinion about the state of Israel. For or against. But look what people will do. They'll take a couple of ideas here and there that they picked up, and if they could throw in a Rambam, that's very good. Oh, of course, the Rambam Hilchos Melachim says. Because they happened to be that day in the speech, where they heard that, and they made an impression upon them, and they had that Rambam. They got that one Rambam. Everybody has a Rambam. So they have that Rambam. And what do you think? If you'd be standing there with the Sambrov and you tell him that Rambam, you don't think that he would turn you like in a blender? In a blender. You'd be pureed in a minute with the Rambam. And you don't think that if you went to Rav Kook with some of the Maharim Mekaymas from the Sabbachar, if you went to Rav Kook, you wouldn't be put into the blender and you wouldn't be turned around in the wrong direction. When Tadi came out, you wouldn't know who the Rambam was? No, but I know that I'm right. All these arguments that we have, denyainus. Because Chitzonius Sabina never ever stops to ask, what is it really? Chitzonius Sabina takes ideas and concepts, and that's what the Koach HaMadama means. We'll see next week from the Rambam. L'damois milsa l'milsa. Koach HaMadama means, l'damos means to make comparisons. The Koach HaMadama takes from the world that I know, that I'm comfortable with, that I grew up with, and will then borrow those and use those old ideas that I have, very small arsenal of ideas. If I'm smarter, I have a bigger arsenal. And the Koach HaMadama will take those ideas and concepts and apply them to different realities in life. And what you get out of all of that is some new concoction that has nothing to do with reality. That's not Giuliani, and that's not Clinton. Lahavdi, that's not the Satin Rav, and that's not Rav Kook. But it's a new binyan, and it's a building, it's a binyan, that you built with the Koach HaDinyan, with the Koach HaDinyan, that's medama one thing to the other, just because of that, just because of a laziness that a person has, a fear of what's not known, and because there are certain predetermined results that we would like to see happen most times, we would like the results to come out a certain way, and most important of all, I'm already committed to my old ideas. I'm committed to my old ideas, and I'm comfortable in the world that I grew up in. And therefore, you're asking me to think about this for its own merit and its own sake. What is this? Banis, what is it? Pneumius Habina. Lahavin Dogmi Tardavin, Pneumius. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'd rather take what I already know and build up a perception using the foundation that I have. And when you do that, as we're going to talk about Mitzvah next time, when you do that, you could have spent 40, 50, 60, 70 years in the biggest sheker, in the biggest lie. That at 120, the Baruch Shem will show you that your whole binyan was a sheker. The whole thing that you made was not true. The dinyanis. Koach HaMadama. You made a challenge. You picked it up and you put together something and you made your whole life on that. And you committed yourself to that. And you committed yourself to that. And you were strong about it. And you held like that. And you told other people. And you told your kids. You raised your kids with your dinyanis. And the kids are going around saying the dinyanis too. Right? Generations, dinyanis. As I said, next time, we'll see how this connects also to the story of Yosef HaTzadik and the Shrotim and the Koach HaMadama and the Rambam and Rabbi Nachman. And Hashem should help us that we should be searching for the time that we're able to see the Nevi'im who are the true Baal HaDinyan, and that we should be searching to see the fulfillment of all of the Chaloimus that our people, and to see the Gula Hashem V'Amitis Meher Yomein Amin.